Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Oh, well, awesome. No, I've never held a mic before. That was funny, guys. Come on. Oh, man. Well, you know, I did not think that Jess could outdo her last introduction, and she just did it. All right, so if you're taking notes, my title is Thinking from Heaven, Having Both Presence and Performance and Balance. And she already kind of threw the disclaimer out, but I'm going to throw it out there. One thing I can say truly about this house and about myself personally, we walk out what God is giving to us to impart. So we're works in progress. So please don't shoot the messenger, okay? If something offends you, get with the Lord. But I'll tell you this, when I'm offended, I immediately now get with the Lord and find out why my love has gone from that person. And I seek him out and say, okay, what is in me that needs to come out so I can love them properly and move in the kingdom of heaven? Okay? Yeah, that's good. So I'm primarily going to be speaking from, let's get the scripture. And I'm going to be using the story of Mary and Martha. And they're typically taught on kind of what not to do and what to do. And I want to give you some definitions first, because I think it's extremely important that okay. So perspective. The definition I really want to focus on is a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, a point of view. See, when we're moving from the wrong perspective, we have the wrong point of view. And when we have the wrong point of view, we can't think as heaven thinks. It's going to get in our way. It's going to corrupt our whole thought process from there on. Would we all agree that the body of Christ today, more than ever, is task-oriented? We've turned everything into a task. Even going out and witnessing has now become a process of soul winning. When Jesus just said, go out and preach my good news, that they can become a new creation, he didn't say turn it into a formula and build a building. He didn't say that, but we've turned it into a task. And there's nothing wrong with being task-oriented. That a best laid plan, always, you know, Bethel teaches out of Redding, California. They always teach, come with a plan. Now, be willing to toss it away if you want to, but always come with a plan. So task-oriented people, they always come with a plan. That's great. But you can't be so caught up in what you're doing that you miss who you're doing it for. And more importantly, who you should be doing it from. Okay. That went over well. That was good. All right. So performance. We all know the definition of performing on stage, and it's a big topic in the worship world. You don't want to perform, you know, guys, worship leaders like myself can't stand people that are like this when they worship and they're wide open, and it's like, are they really worshiping God? And it's always a big discussion. But we're not talking about that definition of performance. We are talking about the action or process of carrying out or accomplishing an action, task, or function. That's performance. Performing a task. So, I'm going to bring you into Scripture. And one of the things I love about Martha is she starts performing a task. And she doesn't do it out of command. She does it because it's custom. How many times have we started doing a task thinking it's the right thing to do, finding out that that person didn't even want it done? And then you get offended because they have the audacity to say, well, that's great, but I really didn't need that. Instead of asking Holy Spirit, hey, what can I do for them? And involving him and moving from the kingdom of heaven instead of actually moving for. There's a difference. If we actually connect into our sonship, into our identity, which is Christ Jesus, and start moving from him, our tasks become a lot different. Now, instead of coming up here and giving the offering message to where, okay, I've got to give this message, I've got to see them, get them to see my point and this and that, now I'm asking Holy Spirit, okay, how are we going to move an offering today? What are you breathing on? What should we focus on? And that makes a big difference, because when you move with Holy Spirit, he's in tune to our hearts. He's the one that's going to say, okay, they're feeling like this corporately. It's been a tough week for most of them, so maybe let's not gut them. Let's not beat them overhead with Scripture. Let's encourage them with this Scripture. And so when you come from that perspective where when you're coming, I'll give you this example. When the kings of old, when they would send out people that came in their name, they were moving with the same authority that the king had. They were moving from the king. Now, he gave them a task. But so if you assaulted or did something to that person sent out by the king, it was the same as assaulting the king. There was no difference. So when you're moving from the kingdom of heaven, it's the same as the kingdom of heaven moving. Did you catch that? Okay. All right. Now we're going to get into the definition of presence, and then I'll kick into Scripture. And I really want you to catch this, and I'm not beating up task-oriented, because I think combined with presence, it's where we need to be. We need to both be function and present with the Father at all times. We're his hands and feet, and that's what Scripture says. We're the arms reaching. Huh? Some of us will be the face of Jesus that some might ever see, until they reach glory. So, a state or fact of existing, occurring, or being present in a place or thing. That's presence. So I'm reading from Luke 10, starting with verse 38. You put that up there, bro. Oh, you got it. Ooh, you're on it. I'm with the English Standard Version. Now, as they went their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." I want to stop right there. There's another version that the NLT, it actually says, "Lord, do you think it's fair that I'm doing this and Mary's doing nothing?" Martha is now offended. Now, notice it doesn't say that she was instructed to get dinner ready and to cook and to prepare a meal. It actually says she was distracted. But I believe out of custom, when someone came to your home back then, and even in some homes today, when someone comes over, you prepare a meal for them. It's customary. And that's okay as long as you don't allow that to deter that for who you're preparing for. And you get so caught up in the task that you miss who's in your presence. When I first came up here 2 years ago and I experienced the first gathering, I'm going to tell on myself if that's okay. I'm going to expose some things because I think it's crucial. And I'm going to let you know how God deals with me so it can give you as much joy as it gives me. you know, it's a little hurtful at the time. I mean, but God doesn't always care about your feelings. He sometimes does, but not always. Most of the time, he finds humor in it. So here I was, and I'm just going to be honest. You know, the gathering's coming, and I get a text. "Hey, Pastor so-and-so is going to be over worship. He'll be calling you." Okay. All right. I can deal with that. And then Pastor so-and-so calls me. "Hey, I'm going to bring up so-and-so to lead worship for the whole conference." Oh. And, you know, at first I'm like, okay, all right, I can deal with this. And the more and more things came closer, and after the first service, I'll be honest with you, I was straight up offended. I was straight up upset with God. And my exact words is, "Why would you bring me up here to sit the bench when it matters?" I felt like a first-round draft pick sitting to a second-string quarterback. I'll be honest with you. And then my exact words were, "How is this fair?" I heard the Lord chuckle. He chuckled at me. And it's one of those sarcastic chuckles that you do when someone says something like just pure stupid. You know, and it's like, and I'm like, "What do you mean, ha, 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 ha?" And he's like, where in the word and when did I ever tell you the kingdom of heaven is fair? Well, is it just? How is it not? Well, I'll think of it. Give me a little bit. He said, you're not going to think of it. Why don't you ask, instead of getting upset that you're not involved the way you want to be, why don't you ask how I want to involve you? But I want to be angry. I want to be mad. I want to feel justified. Don't we do that? Don't we hold on to our wounds? How dare that person hurt me like that? How dare they treat me like this? I used to say this all the time before I understood God as a father. They don't know who I am. My dad used to say that all the time. He jumped from church to church. Okay, what's the reason now? Well, they don't see who I am. Well, who are you? And he goes, well, you can't answer, can you? Now I say, I'm the image and likeness of the Father. And who's constantly molding and shaping my character to what I see, to what he sees, from what I see to what he sees. And so that's my answer for that. So we were, it was kind of the last day that we were ministering. And then we were bringing in another group. And I was like, and I was supposed to, at first I was asked to lead the set, and then I was asked to just lead a song. And I was, all right, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? How do you want to use me in this situation? And we decided to have a meeting instead of practice. And Holy Spirit just had his way. And we all put everything on the table. And we all repented to each other. I mean, we were crying on each other's laps. Bailey's just weeping at my feet. The worship leader, is I'm repenting to her. She's repenting to me. The pastor, I'm repenting to him. He's repenting to me. And we're just coming together. And it was probably the best, in my opinion, the worship service, the best of the conference. And so I say that to say, had I decided to hold on to my wounding, I would have never got breakthrough and see what Holy Spirit wanted to do. Now, we're going to read Holy Spirit, or Jesus's, they're the same, his response to Mary. And I tell you what, or his response to Martha. And I tell you what, it's not very gentle. Everyone wants to see Jesus as this. He was soft, softer than most men of his day, because you have to understand, Jewish men were not approachable by women on purpose. Women were beneath them. So having all the women that actually came up to him in Scripture that we know about is huge. The fact that a woman would just come by and glance his garment is huge, because she felt safe enough to get close to him. That's huge, men. Are you hearing what I'm saying, men? Because honestly, in today's world, we have failed at being protectors and being a safe place. We need to do better. we really need to do better. Now more than ever, the enemy is trying to shut down the voice of women by infiltrating men who think they're women. And now more than ever, we need to stand up and not be their voice, but make their voice louder. That's important. Because when you try to do something for someone and be that for someone, now you're controlling this situation and you're moving in witchcraft instead of kingdom of heaven. That's very, very important. I cannot be my daughter's voice, but I can do everything in my power to make her voice louder. I can transfer my platform to her and give her a place to sound her voice. All right, I'll move on. All right. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are so anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen a good portion, which will not be taken away from her." In the NLT, it says, "You're too busy," I'm paraphrasing, "and your sister Mary has found what's important." There's only one thing important, and your sister Mary found it. Now, if that doesn't slap you verbally in the face, you imagine, Caleb, if I came up to you and said, "Listen, you're off and Conlon is dead on. Sorry. That's the way it is." And Conlon's like, "Ah." And Caleb would be like, "Well, don't I feel like a jerk?" You know? And so that's basically what he said to her. Now, we can take presence, basking in the moment of the Father, too far. You know, when I first became a worship leader, we would practice. I wouldn't come off stage. I would stay upstage. I would stay behind my instrument. I'd be basking in the glory. And when people come up and talk to me, I would just, "Yeah, Lord," you know, and I was totally unresponsive to people. And here it is, guys. If you're gifted for anything, and we're all gifted, you're gifted to build the body of Christ, to equip. And we're all leaders. We really are. If you are saved and bought by the blood of Jesus, you are now a leader because you're a new creation. And because you're new, you're now designed to lead. And I really can't, I'm just going to throw this out there, I just can't stand this whole idea of, "I really believe we're in the end times." Who cares? Honestly, who cares? I mean, Paul actually said the coming of Christ is close. That was over 2,000 years ago. And he thought the coming was close. I think that's not really important to the Father. What's important to the Father is us having dominion over the earth and occupying and living as if he's living in us and being him on the earth. Then heaven can come to earth and fulfill Revelation. That's what he's waiting on. He's waiting on the body to be the body. And we're waiting on him to come back to live like I'm leaving. And it's just not what he wants. It's not the mentality we're to have. Because if I live like I'm leaving, then I'm not going to occupy. I'm not going to get to know Lamont. I'm not going to get to know Pastor Brian. I'm not going to get to know Kenny because I'm a stranger in a strange land and I'm bound for a different home. Right? So here's what we take. It's extremely important. And I always tell everyone on my worship team, and I want to do a personal shout out. I plan on doing this at the beginning, but Holy Spirit had other ways. But I just want to personally say to my worship team now and from the beginning, I'm so proud of you guys. I'm thankful for Larry. I'm so thankful for Dave. He's been with me since I started here, and I'm thankful for Bailey. And I'm thankful for Kirsten when she was up here. And so I just want to say a shout out. I'm super proud of you guys, and you make my job easy. I just want to say that. Yeah. And give honor where honor's due. And so I think the really key thing is when you get caught up in a task, you start being concerned with who's not performing that task with you. And, you know, I believe in Ezekiel, it says, all souls are mine. This is what God says in the Old Testament. All souls are mine. And he tells them to stop singing this song. Basically, they were singing a song where the parents messed up and the children are eating the fruit of that. Yeah. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. So, understanding that, and then he goes on to say that the sins of the Father are accountable to the Father and the sins of the Son, and you know, women, mothers, daughters, it goes all the way down. And understanding that, it's not your business to call out sin in someone else, especially if you think it's sin. Because I'll be honest with you, and Scripture's very clear, all things have become acceptable, but not all things are beneficial. But what's beneficial for me might not be beneficial for you. What's okay for me might not be okay for you. We each have our own individual salvations to walk out. We're to walk out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I can't walk out Tish's for her. I'm not designed to do that. And if I try, then I myself will get into offense and I'll stop loving her and I'll start pointing out everything that she does wrong and I'll miss relationship with her. And then my sin, because that is sin, guys. Offense is sin. You're stepping outside of the love of God. It's sin. So when I'm stepping in that sin, now it's going to affect Pastor Brian. And then it's going to affect Lamont. And then it's going to affect Caleb. And then it's going to affect Kenny. And so forth. And Dave. Because we're all connected. We're brothers and sisters. And here's the thing. And that's why Paul says it's the devil that's the accuser of the brother. Well, why? Because accusations are meant to destroy, not encourage or lift up. I have no place. Now, if I think, if we're in covenant relationship, and here's the thing, and I've learned this lesson the hard way. Not every relationship is covenant. Okay? I have some select covenant relationships in this room. We break bread with each other. We call each other on the phone. We're involved in each other's lives. We go to prayer for each other. They're covenant relationships. They have the right to charge me, hey, I think you're moving a little wrong. They have the right to do that. If you're not in covenant with someone, and just because you're family does not mean you're covenant. I've learned that the hard way as well. Because your mom and dad does not make you covenant with your I have the blessing of being in covenant with my daughter, but it doesn't mean that has to be. That's not a normality. It's just what Holy Spirit decided to do, and I'm thankful for it. But we can't treat every relationship with covenant. When you do, you're gonna fall in offense. And because they've judged you, you're going to judge them back. And you're going to be just as guilty as they are. You'll have no place to stand with the Father until you repent. And here's what keeps us in balance. Forgiveness. If I constantly walk in a forgiving state, knowing that I'm constantly walking in a forgiven state, offense will not be able to attach itself to me. And I won't judge. We're not designed to judge each other's problems, guys. We're just not. And that's what's really starting to interfere in the body of Christ. And I'll tell you this. You're now dealing with a confused, angry world. Well, I wonder why they've been judged for a long, long time and been called the problem and never been loved to a solution. I wonder what would happen instead of pointing out what they're doing wrong, just start loving on them, get to know them, what got them in that situation in the first place. And then Holy Spirit could give you a way to break them out. Instead of adding another door to their prison, you unlock the whole facility. Yeah, that's a good word. So I want to end with that, because had I not walked in forgiveness and had I not given an opportunity for the Lord to do what he wanted to do. And I'll say this, last year I was accused. And, you know, it took me a long time to actually start walking in love, because I was judged. I wanted to judge back, and I wanted to hold on to that because I was justified. No, they're moving at the devil. Well, if I accuse them back, so am I. That's the straight truth. If I go after them, the same, that's where I think some certain leaders have fallen, because they go after the people that go after them in the same manner that they're gone after. We can't do that. Our response has to be love and forgiveness. It just has to be. Because it has to be different. They can't see them in us. They have to see the Father in us. Because honestly, would you want to change if you look at me and see the same thing? I'm jacked up. He's jacked up too. Just because he's saying something different, it doesn't mean I should turn to it. Because I'm not seeing a difference. And that's the perspective that heaven, you know, there's no problems in heaven. There's none. And I want to end with the statement, and then I want us all to pray. But they did a study in the 1980s, and they found, and I think it's now up to like in the 90 percentile, but at the time when they did the study, they found a bitter root of unforgiveness was the cause of 85% of cancer. It's now in the 90 percentile. It's a proven fact. Proven fact of unforgiveness will riddle your body with disease. Why? Because we're not meant to move in it. We've been forgiven, so we're designed to forgive. Yeah? All right, let's stand up. Let's put our hands on our hearts. Father, first of all, I just thank you that we are forgiven. And I ask you to forgive those who have come after me. God, I ask you to forgive those who declare themselves as my enemy, and I declare them as my friends. God, I declare all those who have come against me as innocent before you in Jesus' name. And I want you guys to repeat after me. Therefore, there is no condemnation that are in Christ Jesus. Let's sing that. Let's say that again. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And we just seal this word in your name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church Podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church, and you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.